Happy. Why more or less everything is absolutely fine. Written and read by Derren Brown. Things are not all as graspable and sayable as on the whole we're led to believe. Most events are unsayable, occur in a space that no word has ever penetrated. From Letters to a Young Poet by Rainer Maria Rilke. The Smiley Face. He is ubiquitous, at once irreproachable and black-eyed sinister. He cheers us for a moment before we sense a sneer. He is the rubber-stamp guarantee of congeniality, designed for contagion, a morale-boosting initiative for a life assurance company in the 1960s, disseminated into the world in the form of 50 million black-on-yellow badges. The hallmark of 70s psychedelia, and 80s electronic dance music. His is the glazed ecstasy of the narcotically compelled. Today, he's such a familiar currency in electronic communication that the modern iconoclast's first break with convention is a decision not to use him. In England, the smiley, or his sideways :/parenthesis cousin, provides a familiar sign-off where a kiss would seem too intimate. And in an age of typed communication where tone of voice is not conveyed, it is important shorthand. I am happy, and now you should be happy. It reports that no offence has been meant, that one's intentions are entirely benign, and the warm lubricant of assured conviviality will smooth any further communication. But within it lies the troubling behest to be cheerful, and the childish contours of this exhortation's grinning emblem tell us that nothing should be simpler. Yet the desire to be happy, to obtain happiness, to claim our right to be happy, remains the most enduring and conspicuously self-defeating aspect of our modern condition. Part 1. Beginnings. Chapter 1. Once Upon a Time. A while ago, my long-term friend and collaborator, Andy Nyman, told me the following story. Andy, an actor with a strong fan base, had emerged from the stage door after a show to find, waiting for him, a lost-looking, nervous young girl, perhaps 14 years old, barely able to make eye contact. Her mother, who was clutching a small camera, stood next to her. The mother asked if her daughter might get a photograph with him. He happily agreed, and the girl wordlessly stepped forward and wrapped an arm tightly around his torso. He could feel her trembling at his side as they posed. He grinned dutifully, and as the mother took the picture, Andy sensed that the girl had neither smiled nor properly faced the camera. He asked to look at the picture on the camera's viewing screen, and there he was, looking the picture of happiness, while the poor soul next to him had indeed been caught with her eyes half shut and expression indistinct. "Do you want to do that again?" "You weren't smiling," he asked the girl. The mother answered for her. "Oh, she always looks terrible in pictures." My friend was taken aback by her words. "Oh, don't say that," he protested in defence of the daughter. The girl spoke up for the first time. "Oh, it's okay, it's true." In that brief exchange over a photograph, there also appeared to be a snapshot of a life, one of wretched self-esteem for the girl and its apparent maternal origins. Instead of helping to encourage and nurture her child at all times, as we would hope, the mother, it would certainly seem, is instead helping to perpetuate a crippling lack of self-belief. The damning word in the mother's remark is always, because always tells us there is a pattern, a story at work, and stories affect us deeply. When I perform my day job as a kind of magician, I work with people's capacity to fool themselves with stories. A good magic trick forces the spectator to tell a story that arrives at an impossible conclusion, and the clearer the story is, the better. Normally, everything you need to solve the puzzle happens right in front of you, but you're made to care only about the parts that the magician wants you to. When you join up those dots, so misleadingly and provocatively arranged, you're left with a baffling mystery. A good magician might make the trick mean more by elevating it beyond the mere disappearance or transposition of some props. If it can be made to feel somehow relevant to you rather than a mere display of skill, then the story is likely to have more import and the trick more impact. If magic exploits our capacity to continuously, unconsciously modify events in the ongoing world to form a story, even at the expense of everything we know to be possible in the universe, then we are...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?